First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column.
You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the show, special holiday edition, and the final edition of 2007 of the BS Report. It's an emotional day. Not really. We're going to have Cousin Sal calling with the Week 17 picks, which I think will be the final segment of that, unless we do playoffs. But first, I wanted to get Jimmy Kimmel on the show. This is the last week before he comes back next week. As you know, there's a writer's strike, and he has to come back and do his show without writers, which is going to be very interesting. So let's call him and see how he's holding up over the holidays. All right, Jimmy, you there?
I'm here.
What's happening?
Oh, you know, just walking around my house in my underwear.
Happy holidays.
You should see me. It's a real nightmare.
Unfortunately, I've seen you in your underwear, and it is a nightmare.
Oh, you know what? Now I say that you should see me, I realize that most of my neighbors can see me also. So
yeah,
I'm going to duck in the kitchen here.
Close the shade. How is the holiday going with your extended family? What is it, the biggest reunion in like 23 years or something?
Well, no, I mean, we seem to have a family reunion at about every 14 days, but there's always some date marked with my family, because everybody remembers the dates. It's like, this is the first time the whole family has been together for Christmas since Grandma passed away. Mm. But, you know, that was like 30 years ago, but we have been together for every Easter and every, you know, every time the Tooth Fairy comes, everyone gathers. It's,
right.
You know, we're pretty close.
And you actually had to get a house for your family for when they visit, because you were tired of them staying at your house.
Well, I didn't have to get a house for them.
You wanted to.
I just decided that it would be better if they stayed elsewhere.
That's good. I wish I could make that same decision. Hey, the writer's strike still going on. I think they should have it like the Iran hostage crisis, when it was like day 62, day 63. I don't know what day it is, but it's definitely, we're like in the 50s or 60s. But you're coming back next week.
Yeah.
With no writers.
Right, exactly. Including, the hard part is I can't write for myself, that which makes it extra tricky.
How does that work?
Well, I guess it works like, I guess it's just going to be easier, really, because normally, as you know, I'm slaving away all day preparing things for the show.
Yeah, but you're going to figure out a way to do that anyway.
No, I don't think so. I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to wing it. And, you know, you don't want to make the writers look bad. I don't want it to be too good.
Right. So, but you say you can't write, but you can't not have thoughts.
Well, I think thoughts are okay. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that thoughts aren't okay, or else I'd have to wipe my brain clean right before I walk out on stage every night. But I'll probably just do it more like Regis does it.
Right. But Regis has a co-host.
Yeah. No co-host, though. No. I was thinking of flying Leon Spinks out to be the co-host and have him be my Kelly for the duration of the strike. I don't know. I'll try it the first night by myself, and if I feel like I need Leon, I will summon him.
Well, you missed the Mayweather-Hatton fight. Tragically, you were supposed to go. But Leon and Michael Spinks were there together. And I don't remember hearing an announcement for this or reading anything about it, but Leon and Michael are now equally insane. Did
really?
You know this?
Well, I would love to hear a conversation. Maybe they speak a language like that we don't necessarily understand. I don't know if I ever told you this, but the first interview I ever did was of Leon Spinks.
Seriously, for what?
It was for nothing. It was for, my mom gave me a tape recorder for my birthday. I was 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I headed over to the, MGM, I think it was, where Leon was fighting. And I just waited in the lobby for someone famous to come through. And all of a sudden, here comes Leon Spinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he comes in and everybody descends on him, but there was no real media there except for me and my tape recorder. And I did an interview that, went something like this. Is that, Leon, you know, this is a 14-year-old Jimmy Kimmel. Leon, are you ready for the fight? And he goes, you think, what round do you think you're going to knock him out? And then, thanks, Leon.
Yeah, that was it.
The end of it. Yeah.
So if there's a transcript, it just would have been all consonants.
Yeah, it would have been like an episode of Sesame Street.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I think you should... In the first year we did the show, you had a co-host every week. I just think you should have Tyson come back, and he could be your Kelly.
I think is he still in rehab, or might have to spring him from somewhere.
Isn't he always in rehab?
Are you saying Mike or Cicely Tyson?
I'd say Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay, all right.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, no, I think he's still in rehab. I think he's taking this rehab pretty seriously.
Yeah.
In fact, when we shot that bit with him for the ESPYs where I was showering with him,
yep.
We had to make sure we were finished so he could get back before curfew.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't look that good. And for anybody who's predicting a Tyson comeback, it's not going to happen.
No, but it's fun to hear him say curfew.
Yeah, that was fun. I did enjoy that.
Curfew.
So, this, you know, the interesting thing about you in this writer's strike is that there's no worse person to be in this dilemma than you. Who is always trying to do the right thing, and yet in this particular case, there was no clear-cut right decision for anybody to make.
Well, I think there was. I think it was pretty clear-cut to me. I mean,
well, you held out for 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, we held out, and you know, we stayed off the air for a very long time, and I think the Guild is pretty satisfied with what we did. I don't think anybody's upset over there.
Did you did not want to be the first person who potentially came back, right?
No, nobody wanted to be the first person, but I think NBC was kind enough to throw Carson Daly to the wolves and make him the first one to come
and he's
back.
Traumatized by the whole thing.
What's that?
He's traumatized by the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's very unfair the way he was treated and the reaction that, I mean, you know, you got a show, you have people that work there. You have four writers that work on your show that want a job when they come back, and you know that requires you going back on the air.
Do you think that? I mean, it doesn't seem like the rest of America really cares that much about this strike, but I feel like they will as soon as Lost goes off the air after 8 episodes, and people are like, "Wait a second, there's not going to be a 9th episode," and that'll be the tipping point.
I don't even know if it will be, because I think we've been conditioned to not get enough of the shows we like in general. Like when The Sopranos makes us wait 19 months in between. Is that show over, or are we waiting for it to come back on yet?
It went to black. It's we don't know if it's coming back or not.
Well, but I think maybe we've been conditioned to not get as much television as we would like, especially in certain programs. But you know, there's this 95 channels, so. It seems like people, I don't know, I have no sense of whether people, the rest of America cares. I'm guessing they don't.
I'm torn on that one because I feel like there hasn't been a show yet that people have been outraged that has gone away. Whereas, you know, like if The Sopranos, if there were 6 episodes left and then it
right.
just went away and we never knew how it ended, I think there, you know, people would be rallying in Washington. But since they're... You know, it's like there seems like there's enough TV on for people to hold them for the last 2 months. There's sports. You got reality TV. The late night shows, you guys have just been doing reruns, and you've been basically running the best. You know, you've had the Jamie Foxx one on. He reran the Matt Bourne-Guillermo one. But after about 2 months, that's going to fade, so you got to come back.
Yeah, that's a mild annoyance to people that watch. It's not like, you know. Like we suddenly ducked out. I don't know if it affected sports, people would go crazy. Obviously,
right?
But
it's a weird thing, and it also seems like now they're going to reinvent everything about how TV works, like with upfronts and all. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think 2008 is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be over soon, but I think maybe rather than the absence of the good shows, what's going to bother people is the presence of a lot of bad shows and a lot of game shows and a lot of crappy reality shows. And, there's a lot of hype around American Gladiators. It's like, who liked American Gladiators when it was on the first time around on syndicated television? Children. That's it. Children and mentally challenged people. That's who like American Gladiators. This is a ridiculous replacement series to have on television. I mean, it's on NBC. It's crazy.
Well, I saw there was I had an idea a few years ago for somebody to have a show called White Trash Weddings. And apparently that is now going to be a show. And I'm not saying they took the idea. It's just that's how desperate the programming is. I think it's going to be on E.
Well, I am disagree. I will watch that show, though.
You would watch White Trash Weddings?
Listen, there's always room for bad TV ideas. It's just they should be on your VH1s and E, the entertainment channels, rather than NBC.
Right. So you're going to come out, you're going to ad lib. Are you going to show clips?
Yeah, I'll probably show clips.
But you can't have prepared jokes after the clip.
Right, which would be not a problem. And
right.
And I will I was thinking of maybe opening with a song like Merv or Mike Douglas or John Davidson on his television show. You know, he'd come out and he'd just go right into a song and get everybody all fired up and then, you know, move on with the program.
Well, unfortunately, you and I are the only people who watch the John Davidson show, I think. I actually was watching the one when he united Andy Gibb and Victoria Principe, who dated for the next year. I felt like I played a small part in it just by being one of the two people that watched it.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
that's
that?
Right.
Yeah, that was good. You know,
and then Andy Gibb killed himself, right?
Yeah, I think he did. I think because she broke up with him. I was thinking of you the other day because I think PBS was running like a 90-minute retrospective of the Mike Douglas show, and just like how different it was to have a talk show back then versus how it is now. And I remember before you launched your show, you took us to the, what was it called, the broadcast TV?
Yeah, the television museum, TV and radio museum.
Which is really like one of the most fascinating places you could go to if you like TV. Nobody ever even...
Yeah, there's one in New York and one in L.A., and it is a great place. They have all, I mean, it's like a premium version of YouTube.
Right. And we watch, yeah, I guess now with YouTube, that doesn't quite have the mystique that it did 5 years ago. But
there are things there that you would never think to look up on you would never think to even look for them on YouTube.
Yeah. So that Mike Douglas, he'd come out, he had like these weird co-hosts and then he'd have other guests and then there would be singing. And I think that might be what happens with your show.
I remember faking illness to watch Steve Garvey on the Mike Douglas show. I saw a promo that he was going to be on. And of course, it was before VCRs or anything like that. I knew if I missed it, I'd never see it. So I had a whole plan of faking I was sick so I could miss school so I could watch Steve Garvey on the Mike Douglas show.
And how did he do?
As I recall, I thought he was terrific. He came through in the clutch like always. That's how he did.
I'm glad you brought this up because now that there's the big steroids there in baseball and these guys from the 70s and 80s who had the good career numbers but not quite the career numbers of the guys now, like Jim Rice, Garvey. And now that the numbers from like 94 to 2006 have been rendered irrelevant, I think it's time to revisit guys like Garvey and Rice.
I agree with you, and it's interesting because Garvey, I think, led the league with 33 home runs 1 year.
Right.
And so then you look back and you add these figures up, and they don't necessarily, although I still think his figures add up to the Hall of Fame, but you look at them and they're not as impressive as some of these guys. But I never thought about that kind of reverse angle on the steroids where. There is another argument you can make is that now that we find out the pitchers were on steroids.
Right.
Doesn't that even it out a little bit? I mean, can't you say like, all right, well, you know what? Bonds had a lot of home runs, but, the pitchers were on steroids too. So.
Yeah, the only thing is the numbers were so dramatically different from like 94 on for the offensive guys and for the pitchers, it wasn't.
Remember when we all thought the ball was juiced?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't realize the players were the ones that were juiced, but that was the big thing. Oh, the ball is juiced, the ball, the ball, the ball. I wonder if Major League Baseball spread that rumor around.
Well, I remember being so mad at Clemens. And, you know, it's basically hearsay at this point, but it does seem like maybe something fishy went on with him. But I remember being so mad at him when he went to the Blue Jays after he left the Red Sox and he became good again. It was like, you jerk, you got in shape. And it never occurred to me that there was even a possibility he might be doing something else.
Yeah, well, I think back then and really up until a few years ago, the prevailing wisdom was that steroids didn't help pitchers and only helped hitters. Mm.
Well, I worry that we're going to be looking at the same thing with golf in like 10 years. And people are going to be like, remember when Tiger Woods won like 30 majors?
By the way, I think you should do a chart, a little photo chart of Tiger's body at this point in his career and Bonds' body comparing their physique because Tiger is quite a bit more muscular.
I know. But in his case, like I would just, and I don't think there's any way he's doing stuff. I think they actually might test for that stuff in golf, but in his case, he's somebody that nobody would ever even imagine could do.
Yeah.
I think that would be one of the biggest... I actually answered this in a mailbag once. What would be the biggest scandals that could happen in sports? And Tiger being on HGH or steroids was in the top five. You know what the number one was?
Lee Trevino on HGH or steroids?
No. It was actually two Colts teammates announcing that they were boyfriend and boyfriend and demanding that Tony Dungy recognize their gay marriage before the Super Bowl.
Well, why not have Tony marry them?
No, because he can't, because he's against gay marriage. I thought that would be the biggest, because that would encompass every kind of scandal we could have.
I love that we even know Tony Dungy is against gay marriage.
He's written about it.
It's ridiculous.
He's adamant. He does not like gay marriage.
I prefer to see a couple of Patriots get married, but that's just me.
Yeah, who are you rooting for going into the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I'd love to see the Patriots against the Cowboys because between you and my cousin Sal, I mean, it would be a huge matchup. But I think the Patriots want it being by 22 points.
Well, and then the other thing with that Super Bowl is that it, with all the Cowboy fans and all the rich people in Texas, that stadium would be about 93% Cowboys fans.
Well, in Arizona, I don't know if you've ever been to a home Cardinals game in Arizona, but whenever the Cowboys visit, it's about 98% Cowboys fans to start.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Packers because I don't want any part of the All Dallas Super Bowl. Are you going to go?
I don't know. My parents live there in Tempe, so that might be.
Is that a plus or minus?
What?
Is that a plus or a minus?
That is a huge minus. There's a whole bunch of minuses in a row. Because the fun of the Super Bowl is the carousing and all that stuff, and there will be none of that. I'll be sleeping in my fold-out bed in my mother's house.
Yeah, but in this day and age, I mean, do you worry about that stuff at all? Like with these TMZ cameras that are everywhere now and these people taking pictures, camera phones and camera videos. We had a friend who came out of a restaurant a few months ago, and they taped his comments. He's making fun of somebody and ended up running. I mean, do you worry about that stuff now when you go out?
I don't worry about it, but I find it annoying. Although I will say I had the first positive paparazzi experience of my life a few weeks ago. This woman and her daughter, their car, they spoke no English. Their car was turned out to be out of gas. It was on the side of the road. It was in the middle of the road, and I got out and pushed their car to the side. And then drove them to the gas station, got gas. And as I'm pushing the car, I see a photographer, like, snapping. This is on La Cienega, right, just in the middle of the street. I see this photographer snapping pictures of me. I'm like, well, that seems weird. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's a paparazzi. And sure enough, in, like, Us Weekly, there's Jimmy Kimmel pushing a car.
Well, that's pretty good, but when you end up in the Stars, They're Just Like Us section, I think that's when you have officially made it.
Oh, I've been in it a few times.
You have? Doing what?
Yes.
What were you doing?
I have. I don't remember. I think it was like Stars Are Just Like Us. They, you know, they scratch themselves on at dinner or something like that. But yeah, I've been in that thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I didn't know that.
You know, I know you take me for granted because you called me the night before and say do my podcast.
That's not true. First of all, we didn't know if we were doing a podcast. And second of all, this is a big week for you, and you're a newsworthy figure. You're coming back next week. You're doing. Yeah. You're heroically doing your show without writers.
I know. It's very heroic.
Now, well, here's, I guess, my final question. What happens if the show is just as entertaining when you're ad-libbing and not spending 15 hours a day working on it.
Well, I think the novelty of it will make it just as entertaining, but I think in the long run, I mean, people look back at when we started the show and they're like, oh, I really like when the show was just crazy and whatever, but, you know, those things are, it's like you can't have a bachelor party every weekend, you know?
Right.
And, and after a while, it becomes tiresome. So I think it'll be fun for a little while, and hopefully it'll be a very short while.
Will
but
you
if
have...
it is, then I see that as the writer's problem.
Will you have more guests or more time with the guests?
It depends on the guest. If it's you know, if it's somebody big. If you see a night where we have eight guests lined up back to back to back, that's, that will be a problem. But I will have a little more space to put crazy people on, which I've not had for a long time. So
more space to have who on?
Crazy people, you know.
Oh.
The guy who dresses as Peter Pan and he's adult. Remember the guy to have on in the old days?
Right.
But
well, I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard yesterday and Superman was out there, which made me think, he works 365 days a year, the crazy Superman guy.
Yeah. What
it's
about?
Insane.
What?
Well, it's just that he never takes a day off.
Oh, right. He's working on Christmas, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Superman. You can't take a day off. I mean, your world could go right to hell.
What is his goal with that, though? I mean, he's been doing that ever since you had the show. Like, where does he see that taking him?
Oh, I just watched they did this movie, Confessions of a Superhero, and it's mostly about him. And he sees himself as an actor, and he claims to be the son of, who? Sarah? Sandy Dennis, an old actress. But Sandy Dennis's family say no. She never had a son, and they don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, that's like that movie with Sam Jackson where the guy pretends he's a boxer, but he's really not. Oh, I have one more last question, because the other one wasn't the last question. This one is. Your cousin and I, at Christmas Eve, were arguing about the most disappointing moment of 2007. And he's adamant that it was The Sopranos ending and that it was the disappointing moment by which all disappointing moments will now be measured. Do you agree with that, or was there a more disappointing moment for you in 2007 other than the fact that they killed half of your ESPYs monologue?
Well, I think it's weird. Oh, yeah, that was not a good... That was disappointing.
Yeah.
That, for me personally, might have been. But I would have thought the strike would be more disappointing for Cousin Sal that we actually went on strike.
No, I think it's The Sopranos. He said Sopranos and Romo's fumble were his two most disappointing moments.
He is so angry about that. I mean, he really... It's unbelievable how upset he is about that. But I think you hit it on the head. For me, I think it would have to be, killing at the ESPYs and then turning the broadcast on and most of my good jokes being cut from the broadcast.
Well, you know what? If they cut this section from the podcast, give me another disappointing moment for 2007. Actually, I guess it would be that they cut this out of the podcast.
And this will be the ESPN. If they cut this section from the podcast, that will be the last straw, so they better not cut it.
Hey, and you made up with Joe Theismann, too.
I still don't think there's anything to make up for. I mean, I really wasn't making fun of Joe Theismann. I was just goofing around with those guys, but he seemed to take the whole thing pretty well.
Yeah. And you'll probably be back in that show at some point.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if I'm available.
I like it. I like the way you played that.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, good luck. Good luck next week. And,
thanks. Good luck to you, and I'll probably talk to you in a half hour.
Yeah, okay. Take
Goodbye.
Care. All right. You know, a lot of teams are playing out the string this week in Week 17, and one of them is me, because Cousin Sal has already defeated me for the season in our Who Could Be Closer to the Lines Each Week contest. We're going to have him on anyway. We're going to play out the string in Week 17, and I am not going to replace my QB, and I'm going to give it my all. Sal, are you there?
I am here, Bill. Yeah, I'm going to be off by 10 or 12 points because I have my third string in. Like you mentioned, what do I care?
Right.
I've already secured a free Super Bowl ticket.
Well, maybe you should try in the first five picks and then have your son do the next 10 or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
That would be good. I talked to your cousin.
Yeah, which one?
He's coming back.
I know.
Coming back next week.
Well, he's going to make a fool of himself. No, he's going to be great. I actually think this is people should tune in because he's going to actually stand out more than Leno and Letterman and all the rest. I mean, you and I know he's naturally funnier than these guys, just off the cuff.
Could you be more biased, though, when you make that statement?
I don't
probably
think
not.
So. Why am I biased?
No, I actually agree with you. I think this is going to be riveting TV because, you know, a lot of people just don't realize how important the writers are and how scripted a lot of these shows are. And this is where, you know, it's kind of like who's got it? Who's got the goods?
Yep, that's right.
I am so excited.
A lot of bloodied up B-list actors crossing the picket line. That's for sure.
Well, I'm excited for the mugging on the Conan show. I think he's going to be mugging about as much as anybody's mugged in like 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going
to be good. All right, let's get to week 17, which is really one of the worst weeks of football matchups in the history of the league.
It's terrible, especially those early games. You know, Sunday night, usually like halftime of the Sunday night game, I take a look, and we have, speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, we have five screens at Jimmy's, which we have to fill each Sunday, and I predict which screen is, one of the screens is bigger, and we're going to go, you know, which big game is going to go where, and for the life of me, we couldn't pick, right, which game is better than...
Yeah, you sent me the list, and I wasn't even leaning toward one of the games. Like, I just had, I guess... I mean, and there's no fantasy on top of everything.
No, right.
There's no fantasy implications to any game. There's no playoff implications to any game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it'll come down to what we all gamble on.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to have to go big on one of these.
Well, what we should do is get a group consensus and then go the other way.
Right.
Because that seems to be the only way people win this year.
Let's skip that Saturday game and go right to these awful early Sunday games, maybe.
What is it? There's no Thursday.
No Thursday. The Pats and Giants are Saturday.
Yeah, let's do that one last.
It's going to be the most talked about game. So, all right. So, San Francisco at Cleveland.
All right. Well, this game actually matters. So maybe this is the big screen.
Yeah, I was thinking this could be it. Yeah.
Because when you sent me that list, the game didn't. This game.
Uh-huh.
I guess Cleveland could still stay alive, but they're going to probably lose that spot in about 4 hours later.
Right.
Now, San Fran's kind of playing well lately, and there's no real explanation for it other than that they don't have the first-round picks.
Well, the explanation is everyone sat Frank Gore, and he said, all right, does everyone sit me? All the fantasy owners sit me? Okay, good, I can go crazy. here they are. But I know, I feel like the Browns have twice as many wins as the Titans, right? How are they not making the playoffs?
Right.
The Browns are the teams everyone bet on all year and won, and they're on the outside looking in, but...
I blame myself because I wrote last week that Derek Anderson was one of the best 10 quarterbacks in the league, and I feel like I've jinxed his whole career.
I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened last
week. He was awful in that game.
Ugh.
So it's San Fran at Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to say Cleveland by 9.5.
All right, and I'm not fooling you here. I hit this one exact, but don't worry. I'm off by like 6 points on most of the rest of them. It's 11.5, and I nailed it from what it opened at. So
11.5. Possible three-team tees.
That's what I'm looking at. Three-team tees with Cleveland. All right. Cincinnati at Miami.
Is Cleo Lemon not horrendous?
I think Greg Camarillo makes him look better than he is.
Is that what it is? I got you. Because I feel like a Cleo Lemon versus Tavares Jackson, there's no contest. Cleo Lemon's much better.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking more in terms of let this be the game where, I think I said last week, one game should be the losing coach gets fired immediately.
Oh, like wrestling. Yeah, I like that.
This is it. Cincinnati, Miami.
I don't know what Marv Lewis has to do anymore to get fired.
It's, I know, right?
Every point on the checklist for, like, you know, guys getting arrested, team stinks, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Cincinnati by 4.5.
All right, you get this. I thought it would be 6. It's 3. It's only 3.
Hmm.
So, imagine betting on either of those teams.
Well, you know,
congratulations to the Dolphins next year, who undoubtedly, with Big Tuna calling the shots, have Drew Bledsoe as their quarterback. That's going to be good.
Well, and also, he gets the number one pick, which I think is one of the reasons he took the job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, that's true, yeah. That always works in his favor.
You know, if you look at this game, though, Miami has that number one pick locked up, so they have every reason to try, and Cincinnati has no reason to try.
Mm.
So, could be a possible upset.
Yeah, no, you're right. Third game, Seattle at Atlanta.
Another terrible game.
Yeah.
Seattle's locked up number 3, right?
They're definitely number three. Thanks to Tampa Bay, they're definitely number three.
Yep. Yeah, let's talk about that when we get to the Tampa Bay part. I'm going to say Seattle by 3.5.
All right. See, you're going to beat me here. You're off by 5.5 points, but you're going to beat me here. Atlanta's given 2, and I said Seattle would give 4.
Now, that makes sense. We always forget that. Week 17,
Oh, man, I just think Seattle, some of these teams' second string has been, you know, Atlanta doesn't want to screw up that second pick, do they? Wouldn't they possibly get it?
Probably not. And that's a QB pick, too. Well, and also Seattle has that Seneca Wallace, who's I think, kind of feisty. I like him a little bit.
Yeah, is he worth
run around
Harrington
and stuff?
Or whoever they would put in, Redmond? I don't know who they would put in.
Yeah, but Seneca Wallace against Chris Redmond.
Yeah.
That's a good match.
Detroit at Green Bay.
Well, Detroit is probably playing to save some jobs. So I'm going to say they're going to try, and Green Bay has no reason to try at all. Green Bay by 1.
All right, you get this one, too. I said Green Bay by 7, and it's 3. So another stay away, but
yep,
it's a low one. Buffalo at Philly.
God, Buffalo last week. They killed everybody.
The sucker bet of the week.
Up by 14. We should have done the sucker bet of the week. Maybe next year we'll make that a feature, the sucker bet of the week. Because I think it went like 16-1 this week.
That would be good to follow what the record would be of the sucker bet of the week.
The sucker bet of the week, because I remember like week 2, Cincinnati at Cleveland was the first sucker bet, and everybody had it. Everybody lost.
Definitely, yeah. So if I'm Kevin Everett last week, I'm like, you know what, guys, I'm walking after a paralyzing hit, and you can't beat cruddy Eli Manning. I'm done. I'm done with this team.
Well, then to lose by whatever, 3 scores when Eli Manning was just reprehensibly bad, that's even worse, I think.
Yeah.
So who is it? It's Buffalo at who?
Philly's home.
Ah, Donovan McNabb last home game. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
That's right, yeah.
I'm going to say it's a good thing. Philly by 6.
You're beating the heck out of me here. It's 7.5.
Well, you took your starters out, of course.
I said 4.5. Yeah, that's right. My starters are long gone.
Yeah.
They're celebrating, preparing for next week. Carolina at Tampa Bay.
Matt Moore is not terrible.
Mm.
Carolina at Tampa Bay. Carolina by 3.
You're going to get that. You hit exactly. I said Tampa by 2.
Because you got Matt Moore's playing for a starting job, and John Fox coaching to keep his job.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And could Tampa blow another game to get it even a lower seed, or is that impossible?
No, they could dip to 4, and that's it.
Well, we talked about this. It's maybe not the dumbest thing in football to have 2 weeks to prepare for the Giants or someone.
Yeah, tell the listeners that theory, because you told me this the other day, and I liked it.
Well, I mean, like the Yankees, I remember the last month of the season saying, we want nothing, maybe not to the player, but I know the fans were saying, we'd love to play the Indians. They're ice cold, you know, and then they get beat up by them. They lose the home field. But I think it's different in football. If you have 2 weeks to match X's and O's and look at tape, and, you know, I don't think it matters too much if Tampa in the second round goes to Dallas or Green Bay, but they can prepare for the Giants, a couple weeks ahead of time. I think it's a good move.
So you're saying last week Tampa, instead of having it up in the air whether they'd be 3 or 4 and they'd have to prepare for 2 teams, just said, you know what, screw it. We're going to play the Giants. We're just going to stick at the 4 seed and we'll prepare for them for the next 2 weeks.
Right. As soon as the Giants won that early game against Buffalo, Tampa, who's had banged up players, you know, Galloway, Ernest Graham, they said, why even chance it? And they sat everybody.
I think that's smart. I really do. And I also like the part where they get to play Eli Manning in a playoff game.
Yeah, why not?
At home.
I've been thinking about that line for like a half hour this morning.
Tampa
Giants? We won't go
over
it now. But Tampa Bay at home against the Giants.
Well, assuming nobody gets hurt?
Assuming nobody gets hurt. Well, no,
I would say it would be Tampa Bay by 3.5.
All right, well, we're tipping next week. Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's quite 4 because you get all the Giants money.
I think it's 2.5. I think people like the Giants on the road.
All right. Well, we'll cover that next week.
We'll see you next week. All right. Yeah. Where are we already? Jacksonville at Houston. Another meaningless game.
Although the Jags are like, do they want to lose the momentum of this little streak they have? I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, they could.
Houston's got Sage Rosenfels.
Should be looking good going to Foxborough.
You know what? I'm going to say Jacksonville by 3.5.
Nope. They're making well, this one I got, Jan. This one, wow, this might be the one you're off by the most. You're off 10 points. Houston by 6.5.
Really? So that means Jacksonville's just benching everybody.
They have nobody in there. They can't have anyone in there, I guess. So, and then this one, I think this could be the big screen game because there's sort of playoff implications. New Orleans at Chicago.
Oh, yeah, because if Washington loses
wins,
and Minnesota loses.
Yeah. Washington loses. New Orleans is in, and it's a rematch of the NFC Championship.
That was a terrible game.
I don't know.
Great to see a rematch of that one. And Chicago, as they proved last week, has not given up on the season for whatever reason.
Yeah, although maybe that was their Super Bowl. Maybe they don't care now.
Well, maybe it's a double Super Bowl and they want to knock the Saints out too. I'm going to say Chicago by 1.
All right, I get that one. New Orleans by 3. So...
Wow, I don't see any difference between those two teams.
Yeah, I don't either. They'll start everyone, right?
Chicago's defense isn't terrible, and they got the special teams.
Mm.
They always seem to make plays. I like Chicago in that one.
Yeah.
Maybe
Dallas
you tease that to 11.
What's that?
Maybe you tease that to 13.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Yeah, it's like I teased the Bills to 13. Ah, I'm going to flip my wrist and hang under the Christmas tree in Kimmel's living room.
Good times.
All right, Dallas at Washington.
Brad Johnson, looking for a little revenge.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
It's weird. I read a stat like Brad Johnson is, whatever team he plays for, is 0-12 against the spread in games in which his girlfriend, Angela Lansbury, is in attendance. He's very old.
I thought you couldn't write jokes.
That came off the top of my head.
It did. You ad-libbed that. Nice. Dallas at Washington. I'm going to say Washington by 6.
Yeah, you're going to get this. I said Washington by 3. It's 8. That's a high number.
Washington
the Cowboys have to hate losing to the Redskins ever, but I guess the smart thing is to sit everybody.
Washington looked great last week.
Yeah, they did.
That was really one of the better nighttime performances we've seen.
I
think Tavares helped.
Kansas City at the Jets.
This could be two coaches getting fired after this game.
I was just thinking, Herm Edwards gets to check out two teams that he's ruined. He'd be like a proud papa looking things over.
I want him to go to college. I think if Pete Carroll has paved the way for these overmatched NFL coaches who are great guys to go to college and just be the great guy, overseer guy, and that is his destiny.
You mean coach a college team, right? Not just go to college?
I meant coach a college team,
yes. You have to start a junior college, yeah.
I like the way this Jets team's playing.
Yeah.
I think they've been hanging in these games. I'm going to say Jets by 3.5.
That's what I said, and it's 6.5. So we push there. Minnesota, Denver.
Denver has packed it in.
Minnesota, are they the biggest disappointment this year, or maybe the Bears? Bears had a lot of wins last year.
Yeah, Bears were banged up, though.
Yeah.
And they had the QB thing.
I mean, they could have stolen this AFC West. This was not a tough division this year, Denver was in.
But doesn't Baltimore have to be the biggest disappointment, though?
Yeah, maybe. I was looking at their injuries, too, but they should have been right there, too.
I'm going to say Minnesota by 6.
I said 7, and it's only 3, so you get it. So they still will be in no matter what at that point, right? I mean, Dallas and Washington play at the same time, so.
Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I was so hoping this game meant something, but...
It means nothing to Pittsburgh.
Well, if they win and San Diego loses to Oakland, then they get the 3 seed, but that's
not... And those games are at the same time or no?
It's the same time, yeah. So they'll be checking the scoreboard, I guess.
Yeah, but maybe they'll do the Gruden thing where they'll just lock in. Actually, nobody wants to play the Jags.
Who would want to play the Jags and then the Pats? Except our friend Dave says, so be it. We want to beat the Jags and the Pats and everybody else.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. I think the Steelers try in that game, and I think it's Pittsburgh by 6.
All right. I said 6.5, and you get it. It's 3.5. So you are, what do you have here, 9?
No McGahee.
Yeah, no McGahee. I think Lewis is probably out, too.
Also, you could cross off Kevin Jones off your 2008 comeback guys list.
Oh, really?
Fantasy. Yeah, he tore his ACL last week.
Oh, he's out for... Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
He loves to get injured right near the end of the season.
Yeah, well, that'll be good, because every year I stare at him on our fantasy draft board.
Not this year.
It's a crucial decision. All right, San Diego at Oakland. I nailed this one exactly. One of the few.
San Diego clinches number three.
With a win, yeah.
And avoidance of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
San Diego by 13.
Ooh. I said 8, and it's 8. So...
Well, Jamarcus Russell against San Diego, and they're actually going to care in the game, and it's only 8?
Yeah, we should maybe... That could be. Is that a trap or what? They're not losing that game, are they?
How is Jamarcus Russell going to beat the Chargers?
No, it's a
actually,
short
North
week.
Turner is the king of the suck-you-in bet.
Yeah.
Not even the sucker bet, the suck-you-in bet.
That would be big. That would be really big if Oakland pulled that off.
Yeah.
St. Louis at Arizona.
Oh, I like this one for fantasy. Too bad there's not fantasy this week.
Yeah.
Some good guys in this one. Arizona by 6.5.
Arizona by 6 is right. So, and I had 8.5, so you're closer there. And the night game, they switched this. Tennessee, Indianapolis. What was the night game? Did they have one, or did they just never have one?
No, they do the weird thing in the last week. They have 2 Monday night games, and then in week 17, there's no Monday night game.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, this is the final week of the horse trailer. I can't wait to see who gets it.
Yeah.
Such a great idea. What was this game again?
Tennessee at Indianapolis.
So this game could potentially
be something.
They should
have a horse collar player of the game.
That would be right.
The guy's getting fined all the time. It should be, you know, make a big deal out of it.
We're going to get Sorgi for this whole game.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he say that? It seems like that's what's going
to happen. Tennessee's going to have to win. To make the playoffs.
Tennessee has to win to make the playoffs.
Unless Cleveland loses, which won't happen.
No, it actually doesn't matter. Tennessee has to win to get to have a better conference record.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to say Tennessee by 4.
Wow, good call. I said Indy by 1.5. I was way, way off this week. Yeah.
Well, as we learned last week, Indy will absolutely rest their guy. Oh, wait, they didn't do that at all.
What happens with them?
Won by 25 points.
All right, well, now the Saturday night game, which we skipped.
Yep.
Your beloved Pats at the New York Giants.
A game that really means nothing for either team except for the undefeated thing.
Right, and it's been said that the Giants may make Jacobs and Burris inactive and maybe some other players.
Yeah, you know, the other factor is the Giants fans selling all these tickets. You're gonna have probably 70% Pats fans there.
That'd be a lot. Wow.
And the other 30% will be booing Eli Manning.
Right.
So it'll be like a road game almost. I'm gonna say Pats by 10.5.
Oh, I said 12, and it's 14.5. On the road against the Giants.
Wow.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. If you're the New York Giants, you're not beating the Buccaneers and then the Cowboys and then the Packers and then the AFC champion, right? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Play your starters, win this game, and it's the most worthwhile thing you'll be able to do this season.
Interesting.
It really is.
So you're saying stopping the streak is the only way this Giants team will end up being memorable.
I think so, right? I mean,
yeah.
The odds of them winning the Super Bowl, no matter what they do this week, it's just not going to happen. Eli's going to get thrashed one of these games.
Yeah.
And the Pats have everything to lose, and they still have everyone. They're going to put everyone out there.
My only hesitation with writing off the Giants is that they're the only team that no matter who their third or fourth string running back is, the guy's a threat to go 80 yards on any play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had our friend Brad, otherwise known as Randy, call and scream at me at Eli Manning, you'd say what you want about him, but what other quarterback has made the playoffs in his first 3 years? And I couldn't think. He wouldn't hear me anyway because he was screaming still over my response. But I couldn't think of one other than Tony Romo next year. Could you think of one? I don't know.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Did Peyton make it his first three?
Yeah, even Brady didn't make it because Eli Manning.
All right, Randy. Good.
Do you think? So Randy's saying like 20 years from now we'll be looking back at Eli Manning and thinking that he
made
the playoffs
20 straight years. No, I don't think.
Interesting.
So
what was the final tally in this game?
You won
this
week. I don't know. I'm going to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11-6.
Now, what we discussed for the playoffs was that we'd pick four games, but we'd have you double on one game. So one game would be worth two.
Okay.
And that would be a way we could potentially go head-to-head.
Let's do that. That's very exciting.
Then we can keep it going.
Over next week.
I like to make up rules for after I've already lost something to keep it going and potentially turn it around. Let's go for a victory.
If only the Broncos and Ravens and crappy teams like that could do that.
Hey, one last thing, and we talked about this with your cousin. We were talking at his house the other day about the most disappointing moment of 2007. You were adamant it was the Sopranos ending.
Yeah.
Do you give the listeners your case for 30 seconds?
Oh, 30 seconds. It's just not going to happen. I just don't like this do-it-yourself TV. You've come this far. It's a hardcore series about gangsters and family, and it ends with them parallel parking and eating onion rings and stuff. And the thing that gets me is that earlier in the season, was it the season before when he's in the coma and he's the, you know, you're supposed to extrapolate what you can, him being the traveling salesman with the monks and everything. People hated that. They hated that they had to read into anything. And now this ending, seems like, you know, people had to see it four or five times before they decided they were head over heels in love with this genius David Chase and the ending he provided.
So you're saying if it had gone to black, a second had passed, and there had been a gunshot, you would have loved it.
I like it better. And I don't think that makes me a simpleton. Look at Deceit. Look at The Departed. What a crazy, crazy, messed up ending that was. Deceit is such a great tool in these wrapping up these series. Could have Paulie Walnuts, anyone do it. Anyone.
Yeah. You know,
you thought the same for No Country for Old Men, right?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think it comes down to the whole English major thing, which is really one of the defining things. Like, you're either in that camp or you're not. Like, you love seeing stuff that can be interpreted in various ways versus just having definitive conclusions to things.
Yeah.
And I was a poli-sci major because I hated that. To me, there was no worse hell than being in high school in some English class and people reading into these ambiguous novels. I just thought it was the stupidest thing ever. And in poli-sci, everything is, you know, you have truths and you have a definitive answer to each thing. And I just thought that was more interesting to figure out what that answer was.
Of course.
Meanwhile, we're at the Christmas party the other night and we have a couple of our friends talking about how glorious the coin flip was and how it was a metaphor for the whole movie and for life. And I don't know. I'm not that kind of guy.
I'm not either. And that's the literary version of the BCS. Like, well, let's read into it. Let's not even play any games. Let's look at the roster. Let's see who has the faster, stronger players. And it'll all be speculation. Why even play the games?
Well, what was the case? Dave made an interesting case for the BCS about how we have the system. Oh, and he was saying in March Madness that nobody leaves March Madness, or it happens every so often, but nobody every year, you don't leave saying, well, they were definitely the best team.
No, I understand that. But at least you could say you did whatever you could, A. And B, the greatest highlights and memorable moments we have from any sport, most of them come from playoffs and, you know, and like championship games. You make a case for that.
Well, I still remember, I forget who it was. It was Miami against, I think, Nebraska, and they had the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
I was like in high school or junior high. I was like 83, 84. But I just remember that being really definitive and liking it, liking the definitiveness of it.
Exactly.
And now, but as we said the other day, the problem is that you wouldn't even know who the best two teams are to play this year.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. You absolutely need a playoff. I don't know how to go over it. I can't say anything new that anyone hasn't brought up. But
yeah, it's so boring. I think between that and the fact that these college coaches just ditch the teams, they have one good year and they ditch the team for another team, I think those are the two reasons I don't follow football other than the fact that I didn't go to a college that had good football
I
left.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. All right, we're going to let you go. Happy holidays.
Talk to you soon.
We'll do the playoffs. Yes.
A lot of good games early Sunday.
Yeah, I'm excited to at least gamble on them. All right, happy holidays.
Same to you, bud.
See
you.
Before I get the sign off.
Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.